so why would I want to continue? Well,
it took it all away. It took it all away.
You can't say shut up in any nice way, trust me. It's like saying you that bastard and saying, well, we took it the wrong way. You can't say stuff that's inflammatory and say, well, you said it the wrong way, but I'm sorry, you took it the wrong way. And I'm just going through saying, no, what people need to do is have more control. So this guy comes up and says, shut up and listen. That's what he calls control. And now he wants to go into a developed discussion, starting off like that.
I don't get someone's attention all the time. I'm going to commence again. In the break, what we did is we went through a few of the slides and just trashed anything which had you probably alienated and the like. So, cut down quite a bit of slides and you should be able to stay with us a lot better than the presenter was able to stay with that caller. Now, it's interesting as well because we were talking about the first half of the presentation, and one of the slides that I actually had in here was on Hugh Newton, and well, Dr. Hugh Newton. And one of the things Newton did was he would flood people with information during his talks. He would actually bombard them with information and leave them, as someone said in the back, sort of out in the ocean. And so it's interesting that I would actually reproduce the same structures inside. And so it's sort of flipping that whole dynamic of the schooled person. So that was a very interesting observation. Another thing which came to mind as well is the idea, when we speak to a few people during the break, of what matters to us now. And so one of the things I thought that we'd appreciate is looking at the forces that are shaping us at this present moment. Which leads us to China. No, it doesn't quite lead us to China, but I just want to throw that in there. Firstly, what do we think about China in relation to white supremacy? Let's get some thoughts. Put it to the panel, question times. Any thoughts in China, how it impacts on the forces of white domination? Anyone, any views?
Civilizational history, but at the moment it's following a European model of the state. So
no, I kind of disagree with it. I think it has, it's more of a corporation, it is like a corporation, really truly. You know, and yes, it has lots of history, lot of things, a lot of potential. You know, but at the minute I strongly sort of feel that it's like that the government is like a board of any business, so quite frankly. So, you know, sorry about
that. No, I'm with you, man. That's what I'm saying. It's deep civilization.
Sorry, sorry. European model of the
sorry.
State.
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
Well, why is that different from how many other countries have done their thing in that way? Like,
I mean, which way do you want to compare it with?
Next question. When was this written? Shatters some of our perceptions about China
sort of shatters some of his own perceptions around the world. But it's also something that's very immediate. Now, we feel a lot of the stuff that we, you know, that's been focused on in the first half weren't as immediate, weren't as pressing, or as was suggested, it was more just summarising and repeating what's already happened. Whereas this is very much what's happening. Now, please.
That title at the bottom, how China's taking over Africa and why the West should be worried.
Yeah, I'm worried about
that. Why is the West
worried? I was teaching in Ghana 10 years ago. And when I say to you, right, that I was shocked at the amount of Chinese in Ghana. And then when I sort of pushed the argument out to one or two other countries, they were all coming back. You know, it's like China's taking over. It's almost like a new renaissance, you know, and new imperialism. Because how they deal with the, you know, with the inhabitants, right, of the countries in Africa is really quite... No one reports on it. It's really barbaric.
Yeah, here's the thing. Bertrand Russell was in China setting up the educational system when this country was being quote-unquote modernized. People like Galton Darwin, these are the type of people who were shaping policy in the schooling systems in these countries. And so irrespective of, it could be Indonesia coming up. It will be the same organizing forces that are shaping these countries. And we're putting this forward because, sort of like the first half, we should be flooded and immersed in all this information. However, what's the master map? That was an idea that came up. What is the supreme narrative, the one that takes us forward into the present now? The one that takes us away from mere data and that brings us back to a position where we can be dealing with things and come back to them. This was one of the slides that was a lot deeper down. We brought up very high in the priority scale. And this is sort of what, in terms of analysing the first half, this is sort of what may have happened.
So information distracts us from thinking through the problems of our time. Bits inundate and confuse us. While knowledge is orderly and cumulative, information is rampant and miscellaneous. The triumph of our information media is their scoop. They deal with the might happen, the theoretical, but books are cumulative. A new novel by Perendella gives us what we need.
Okay, so firstly, giving you so much information, we can't necessarily engage with some of the stuff that's being dealt with here. So we're slowing down a bit. Second quote as well. And this is my favourite quote. In terms of the master maps, in terms of everything I've done, I've had the most pleasure from going through this quote. And I think it's being touched on in, not this one, the next one. I think it's been touched on in Quadrant Zero. This quote here.
So the A said that guys like me were in what we call the reality-based community, which he defined as people who believe that solutions emerge from your judicial study of discernible reality. I nodded and murmured something about enlightenment principles and empiricism. He cut me off. That's not the way the world really works anymore, he continued. We're an empire now, and when we act, we create our own reality. And while you're studying that reality judiciously, as you will, we'll act again, creating other new realities, which you can study too. And that's how things will sort out. We're history's actors, and you, all of you, will be left to just study what we do.
And that's when you get the master's map. Instead of me showing you 90 slides, we could have summed up like, get the fuck out of here, man. This is what's going down. That's what this is. This is what's going down. Okay? No need to even delve through how many stuff. Let's just try and get with the master map, the dominant narrative of what's going on here. Okay, so...
So who's speaking in that quote?
This is one of Bush's aides, and interesting actually, this is from a paper called The Monday. Duhal. This is, I can't actually remember the name of him, I could get that afterwards.
Well, not the writer, the person.
Yeah, okay, there you are. It's one of Bush's aides. I think this is from, because this was published 2008.
Didn't Bush say that?
No. I don't know. I can't remember it at all. So,
the aid is saying something to me.
No, that's Sunskin who was being, that's Sunskin who was talking to him. That's who was being spoken to there. So, we just thought you might appreciate that so we could bring things up to now. And why is this? Because there's a lot of conversations that have taken place in our absence. And whilst we could get caught up in the minor details, I think it's more important to look at the larger picture. The dominant narrative.
Now we look at this idea of schooling, and we're going to shoot through this part in terms of compulsory schooling. Where did it come from? Well, in summary, there it is. This is from the Times, 1903. Compulsory military training in schools was required in order to lay the foundations of military spirit in the nation. Now, let's sum up what happened. Let's go back to our dry history. Napoleon does his thing. He invades Germany. Germany gets whooped. Germany gets mad. Victor comes up. He says, yo, we just got our asses kicked. And he says, yo, we need to do something about this. So he evokes this Volksgeist, whatever it's called. Okay, I can't remember the word. There we go. That nationalist spirit that says we are the supreme people. And in order to ultimately institutionalize these ideas of being supreme people, these ideas are propagated into a compulsory education system, okay? So compulsory education is created in Germany to put these ideas into everyone's mind so that they're all thinking the same way, so that they become a unified force, and in 1808/09, they beat up France with the help of a few allies. Now again, 1830 to I think 1852, France's Second Empire, it might be afterwards, there's another war, the Franco-Prussian War. France gets battered, okay? France gets destroyed by a country they had beaten not too long ago. Why? Because of the success of the Prussian system. So we could have summarized that as that's what's happened with compulsory schooling. Now after that, a few people are thinking, wow, how did Prussia do that? Went over to Prussia, saw the system there, has it worked? Went back to their countries and said, we want an equally strong system of domination. Hence we have our dominant school systems today. So, anyone wanna question? Blah blah blah. Any thoughts? Please.
Yeah, I mean, everything you just said there was like a slide. It's a really interesting
slide. It is in the slide that we've seen. Well, that's 190, yeah? So just, because we don't want to repeat that. Yeah, going through the slide.
I'll keep you awake for this half.
Yeah.
Night time. Okay, so, what? This is from Brave New World. Now, we've always had oligarchies, aristocracies, and the like. As a matter of fact, that's why the whole France process was about, you know, enlightenment principles, democracy, and all the other jazz they teach us. Now, this is Huxley. Huxley, who we mentioned last week, talking in Berkeley, talking about how they're going to control people in the next phase. And I'm going to send you these slides. But what is interesting is that he... Scrap that. This is Bertrand. Next one, Bertrand Russell was. Everyone know Bertrand Russell, prominent philosopher of our age. Bertrand, he was aristocracy. He did a number of books in which he was one of the people that was in charge. So whilst we had our miniature maps throughout our earlier sessions, he was one of the people who had a master map. He spoke about things that are going to happen in the future. Let's take the book, The Scientific Outlook. Now, in order to understand this, we need to give you the context of what these people are saying. The Scientific Outlook, that's 1931. He's publishing at a time where democracy, you know, as we get the spiel now, it doesn't exist. Most of the people, as we forget, were completely illiterate. So when people were publishing books and writing, they were writing to each other. So they were at liberty to express things as they liked. And so one of the things he says, so almost quoting verbatim, is that if someone comes up from the commoner class and they can actually think through stuff, then we're going to give them a choice. We're going to say, you could join the oligarchy, you could join the dominant class, or, wonderful offer here, he says, we could send them to the lethal chamber before their intelligence spreads. Now, how does this come back to Prussia? Well, the Prussian system, it created a three-tiered system. Now, I want you to... Actually, I'm going to play a clip. I'm going to play a clip to summarize the Prussian system, because if I say this, this might just go over your head. But I actually want you to sit with what gets said about how the Prussian system of education worked. Okay, this is David. Yeah, thank you. And I mean it. Don't